Blog Talk Radio.
Gormo music, man.
It was the night before Christmas, and all through the...
Hold it now, wait. Hold it, that's played out. Hit it!
Give me all that jive about things you wrote before I was alive. Cause this ain't 1823, ain't even 1970. Now I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a rhyme. Gonna shake it, gonna bake it, gonna make it good. Gonna rock, shock, knock it through your neighborhood. Gonna read, gonna sing it till it's understood. My rap's about to happen like a knee. You were slapping, or I told you been tapping on a hunk of wood. Bought a red suit of dude with a friendly attitude and a slave full of goodies for the people on the block. Got a long white beard, maybe looks kind of weird. And if you ever see him, he can give you quite a shock. Now people, let me tell you about last year when the dude came flying over here. Well, the hawk was out, snow was on the ground. Folks stayed in, 240 down. The beat was thumping on the box, and I was dancing in my socks. And the drummer played at a solid pace.
Hey, Robert, let me take it from here, man.
And the taste of the bass was in my face.
Let me take it from here, man. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Brothers For Real Radio Show. Man, there's so much stuff going on now, man. I don't even know what to talk about. I mean, let me take a deep breath. Let me take a deep breath. There's so much. I don't even like talking about stuff like this around Christmas. But there's so much crookedness. It's one of those situations where you don't know whether to say, Lord, please don't come now, or Lord, please come now. I mean, there's so much crookedness. I'm seeing, looking at, we got crookedness going on in the 9th Congressional District in North Carolina. This is where I am. That happens to be my district. All the crookedness is going on with these Republican guys who keep just trying to do stuff the wrong way. I don't get it. They just keep trying to do stuff the wrong way.
Leon?
Did you say punchy?
I'm sorry.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that.
I mean to say Leon, yeah. Punchy. But anyway.
Whatever. Yeah.
You know what the one word for that is?
Let's hear it.
Trump.
Let's hear it.
There's two
Trump.
Words.
Trump.
No, well, the two words. It's acute hypocrisy.
Oh, I have my
acute hypocrisy.
Acute hypocrisy.
Yep.
No, that's deep.
How's it going, Robert?
Hey, Joe. What's up, brothers?
Ain't much happening, man.
Hey, Robert. Hey, man.
But that's here.
Man, I don't know. Let me go back. Acute hypocrisy. We're gonna talk about acute hypocrisy in a minute. Do a little round table right quick. Robert, how are you, sir?
Leon, Joseph, what's happening, brothers? Man, let me tell you what happened.
Me and Joseph were talking before you got here.
All right, man. Look, let me catch up then. I was, remember the building you came in last time you were up here, Leon?
Yes, sir.
Down,
your office
down, building. Yeah, down where we had the Business Connection Conference.
Yes, sir.
We're going on downstairs in that same space is a heck of a Christmas party. Man. They got wine and beer and food, and not that the wine or beer matters.
Sounds like it did.
Dessert. Sounds like it mattered a lot.
That was first.
Sounds like that was all that mattered. But anyway, but not that. but Leon, let me tell you now, when you were up here, you saw some of Prince George's County, Maryland, and really Black America's finest. Black folks are doing some things, man. I was downstairs.
Yes,
I was among CPAs, PhDs, JDs, ITs, government contractors, and these folks, they just as humble, and they just about the business of getting things done. So I took a break. I left the party, but it left me feeling positive and hopeful for the future because there are people out here doing it. We just don't shine the light on them enough. That's what I want to say.
I'm gonna ask you this, Robert, because it came to my spirit. I need to ask you this right here. You said they were humble.
Yeah.
Do you think it was they were humble because they were amongst themselves, or are they truly humble?
Leon, I was thinking the same thing. But go ahead, Robin, answer the question.
Well, let's put it this way. So I'm talking to Eric Tyrone. He's a big-time attorney.
Right.
I saw him on TV the other day. He was fighting some big case. But he was just walking around the room, he wasn't, every time I tried to shine the light on him, he's, oh, man, you know, I'm just doing what I do, man. I'm just trying to. I ran into Miss Bernadette Clay. She owns 4 properties where she puts people in office spaces, and, I mean, she's just, like, doing it. She's walking around there, man, just as meek as a mouse. She was not, her chest wasn't out. She wasn't boastful. She wasn't even have that. You know, sometimes you don't have to be boasting, articulating boast, but just the way you carry yourself.
Right.
That, to me, is when people are at their finest, when they are about the business of the work and not about the business of showboating and trying to pretend they're about the business of the work. That's what I walked away with, because I've seen folks that are just out here. They can't get enough of themselves. But these folks were like, it's like, I'm in here for a minute, but I got to get back out and get some folks to work. I got some payroll to meet. And one guy, like the guy Eric Tyrone, I invited him to be on my radio show on Friday. And he said, oh, yeah, man, let's do it. He said, here's his story right here. He called his assistant, who he had also brought to the party. He had like 3 of his assistants over there sitting at the table. He said, Christina, come over here. He said, check my calendar and see if I'm free Friday for the marketing pulpit show. She checked the calendar. When she walked away, I said, Eric, let me tell you something, brother. Doesn't it feel good to be free? Man, we high-fived each other. It's like, we free, man, we free.
We free,
God, that was a good feeling, man. It wasn't the food or the beverage. It was the fact that I was among folks who were free.
You keep saying that.
They were free.
You keep saying
that.
That's
a good feeling.
The food or the beverage, man.
Okay, I'm overcompensating. Okay,
yeah,
the food and the beverage. Okay.
Well, Robert,
the food and the beverage,
can I say something to Robert real quick? It sounds
Please.
Like
Hey,
Robert,
Sabrina.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing, dear?
How are you guys doing? Robert, I clicked over to catch another call real quick and came back, and you still had the same excitement in your voice that you had when I clicked over.
Right.
So sounds like you won't be with us long. Are you going back to the party?
Well, no, Sabrina, that's a good question. That's a very good question. The party started at 5 o'clock. It started at 5, and I think it was over at 7. I ducked out about 6:30. And
okay.
I'm gonna tell you, Sabrina, I had my fill. I had gotten me a little food. And you ever been to one of these parties where people are kind of like sitting around on tables? And you walk in the room, you feel like you're walking into somebody's house. It was that feeling when I first got there. And I said, I'm not going to like this. But as soon as I walked in there, people started walking up to me and saying, hey, I didn't have a chance to sit down. I was too excited about the people that were there. And I'm not going back. But I was there long enough to get that good, exciting feeling about my people.
Did you remain humble?
No, I wasn't humble at all. I was a peacock, Jack.
Oh God!
No, really, Neil. I was the epitome. I was the poster boy of humbleness because I had quite a few folks running up to me, saying, "Hey, man, I hear you all the time on the air, God. Yeah, I see you all over the place. I'm just out here trying to make a buck, man. I'm just trying to help folks get their story out here and put some folks to work. That's all I'm about. So."
Right.
I tried to be humble. It was hard, though, man. It was hard.
Appreciate
I had a big head a little bit. My head was a little big by the time I left, I will admit.
Appreciate you sharing that with us, man.
Hey,
but
man.
There's a lot of positive stuff going on in our community. I shared a
similar really is.
Experience. I shared a similar experience earlier today. I had a young man come into my office to purchase some insurance for a business that he was starting up, a juice bar.
Right.
And I asked him, I said, how did you get my name? And he said, he told me, He said, Kimberly referred me to you. I said, Kimberly. I said, you know, Kimberly, I said, I've known Kimberly for a nice long time. I said, she has a nice business over there in the Nodar area.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of these gentrified areas. And I said, it's amazing. I said, there are a lot of young women in Charlotte
mm-hmm.
in that age group that are doing some exciting things, that are starting
mm-hmm.
businesses and running businesses.
Right.
I said, there are a lot of them here in Charlotte. A lot of them.
Yeah.
See, well, Joe, that's the thing, and I think that's why last week we said, and that's why I'm glad that the brothers and Leon, and Leon particularly, you've taken this, taking the initiative here with this show and really keeping it going and doing the work. But we have to control, we have to have the microphones out here and some spotlights
mm-hmm.
and let people know. Because what happens, the young folks, if all they see and all they hear is negative music and negative influences and killing and gang banging, if all they see, that's what they're going to become.
Right.
But if they see people like I saw in that room downstairs, really, I left there feeling so good. I said, man, how can I bottle this up and put it out here? And that's when I thought to myself, I said, wait a minute, I'm going upstairs to a platform that has been created for this very purpose, to showcase and spotlight and tell our story and make sure the word gets out there. I mean, we're not CNN, we're not Fox News, but they started just like we started, small, and they grew. We just have to make it grow.
That's right. Yeah, we have our work cut out for us.
So just tell that good story. That's when those positive things happen, we have to tell it. And we have to, and I have to, I'm going to throw in my business pitch right now, because we have to start and maintain and support the businesses in our community. I went to the McDonald's up here in this community where I live, and there wasn't a soul brother or sister in the place. And I kept saying to myself, I'm not mad at the folks who are doing this. They're doing, they're hiring, everybody in that room looked like each other. They looked like they were cousins and sisters and brothers. But that's what you do when you start a business. You hire people that are close and near and dear to you. We just have to become that person, that company. We have to make these businesses in our community successful. We have to learn the process of scaling a business. That's a term that's anathema to most small business owners. They figure they got to bootstrap it and take the money and put a little bit more back in. That's great, but you're not going to scale. To scale means you got to go out sometimes and find some venture capital money. You got to get somebody who has a long pocket to take that business to that next level. And that's where a lot of times we have not succeeded. And that's one of the areas I'm going to be pushing in 2019, the concept of scaling, how to get from a mom-and-pop company to get that venture capital money, to get those investors so that you can grow exponentially instead of taking 20 years to get where you need to get to.
Exactly. Brothers, got a lot on the plate tonight, man. You know, it's just too much going on for us to continue to sit back and ignore it. I don't know what to do now. We're going to talk about that. That's why we're talking. That's why we talk together. That's why we have the Brothers for Real radio show. We try to get people engaged in the conversations of what we must do, the people that know better, the people that have the morals left, the people that are not empty. You know, there are so many empty people
mm-hmm.
in this country that they can be influenced by Trump, Trumpism. I'm going to revert again to the North Carolina 9th Congressional District with the foolishness that went on, that is going on there. I mean, that went on and got this guy, Harris, not elected yet because they haven't certified the results because of the challenges that have been made and some of the stuff that's being revealed that was going on. I mean, they just did all kind of crooked, foolish stuff. You know, my point on that is, How much of that is really going on? I mean, these guys got caught, and Trump got caught. So I'm just saying, so how much of this is going on? I mean, then when these guys get elected, they start gerrymandering districts so they can stay in there. I mean, what do we do?
Man, that's I really hate the path that the country, well, it's been going there always. And the problem in the past is that the population was not energized, and they were not informed. Well, now that they are energized and informed, the people who want to maintain the status quo has had to resort to less covert tactics to maintain power. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get uglier before it gets better. I hate to put that dire news out there, but it's not going to be pretty the next couple of years, because these guys are going to fight like a injured animal. If you ever seen an animal who's caged, who's in a corner and has been injured, they fight to the death. And that's some of the crap we're going to have to deal with in the next couple of years. Gerrymandering,
yeah.
Voter suppression, lost ballots, this crazy electoral college, all these things was put in place to maintain the status quo of power, of white supremacy, racism. And I'm not saying everybody who's white is a racist or a supremacist. I'm just saying that the ones that happen to have the power and fit those characteristics are doing irreversible damage to the country. And it affects
exactly.
Our community disproportionately.
Right. We have a call on the line. Elizabeth, you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you doing today?
Great, Elizabeth. How are you today? Can you kind of give us an idea of what's going on this? Can you give us, fill us in on what's going on this thread I'm looking at with Justice Administration? And also, I see you have something here that says July 19th, 2019 is D-Day on DAs
June,
in North Carolina.
Absolutely.
Help me fill us in on that.
I want to thank, first of all, Reverend Curtis Gatewood for including me into this Justice Administration thread. It's been nothing but positive.
Absolutely.
And what is happening is we as a people have independently, all of us from different parts of North Carolina, realized that we are the ones empowering these judges and DAs with our vote
mm-hmm.
to do the things they're doing to our people.
Mm-hmm.
We can blame them for being bad, but yet we will line up time and time again and send them back into office to send our
mm-hmm.
children to prison for 80, 90, 100 years, you know.
Wow.
And we need to stop that cycle. We can stop them in their tracks. It doesn't make sense to go and stand in front of the legislative building when we can stand up and stop them with our vote. We are the decision-making
wow.
minority bloc in this state. They cannot win without us. So it is about time we hold them accountable.
Right, you're talking right. Let me put it that way. You're saying what we need to do, and
exactly.
Of course, what we're doing, what we're trying to do with this Brothers Real Radio Show, is make sure we have a venue or, you know, to help people get the word out. You know, share our views. We have to do this. This is some. What you're doing and what we're doing are some things that we have to do, things that we must do. So,
exactly. You
mentioned Minister Curtis Gatewood. You know, he's one of the brothers for this show. He's one of the guys, one of the hosts for this show, actually. And that's why I dropped it in the thread. I knew he was probably, I think he's somewhere else tonight working with another situation. Right.
I know he's,
right.
he's yeah, some, and, but also, I'd like to say every time we have moved, it's been my experience, every time we have moved as an informed body, when we have put pressure as an informed body, we have made changes, we have made impacts on these judges, on these DAs. And that's what the African American Caucus Chair, Linda Wilkins Daniels, she's the state chair of the African American Caucus of the Democratic Party. She's organizing this. She's spearheading this, and I am first vice of the Progressive Caucus of the North Carolina Democratic Party, and we have teamed up with them. We are standing with them and are saying we're going to not just give out our votes freely just because someone comes to tell us they're a Democrat or they're independent or they will, you know, make a fake promise. We need to hold their feet to the fire. On the thread, the Justice Administration thread, we began talking about a scorecard for DAs.
Absolutely.
A scorecard for judges, you know?
Absolutely.
So that voters know who is talking to them.
How do we, what's the plan to mobilize? What's the plan to get people? You know, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to share something with you. I did a lot of more so than in my life before. I went out kayaking, the canvassing, and, you know, doing things I just hadn't done before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as much as I did this time. And I went into some situations where, to be honest with you, it just didn't seem like it made sense for me to be there. When I say that, let me explain it, because I just want to be real for a minute, how I felt. I went in a situation where it just didn't seem like people really cared about anything. I mean, they look at you like, why are you trying to get me to vote?
Exactly.
How do we keep people motivated?
They cared about something. You just didn't talk what they cared about. Okay?
Right.
Everybody has the something. There is this standard platform, this standard jargon that we have been handed and we feed our voters. And the young folks, thank goodness for them, they're not buying it. They're like, please, that's rubbish, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for us, it made us, for those of us who are, you know, highly involved in the organization in the party, it made us take a step back and realize and say, you know, what are we really handing these guys? Because they're not taking it. They're not eating this anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the more we looked, the more we started listening. We did listening tours all of year before last. Since 2016, we've been working on this because, you know, 2016 was such an epic fail. We lost by such small margins of just a few votes here and there would have made a world of difference. So we started finding out what on earth are we doing wrong? What is the need we're not meeting? And people came with a whole blanket list of what was important to them. And until we start addressing what is important to them, it doesn't matter what is important to the big money donors. Until you address what's important to the man in the street, they're not going to show up for you.
I agree with you. I'm going to agree with you. But I have to go back and say, how do we find out?
We have to continually, like you're doing, hold forums and outreach sessions where people can come and just voice their opinion, and we take notes and take notes as many opportunities as possible for the public to engage with us where we're not preaching at them, where they're telling us what they need, because our platform should reflect their needs. We shouldn't come down with something and just lord over their heads. That's not going to work. We've got to be meeting a need, whether it's free college education, at least at the community college level. That was a huge thing, you know?
If you
elect enough legislators, the possibility of you getting up to an associate's degree without paying for it, or even a four-year degree, without graduating with a $21,000 college debt, you know, that's something, you know, trust me, that will get a 24-year-old up at 6 a.m. in the morning and go and vote, because it affects their personal pocket.
Right.
You know?
I couldn't agree with you more on that. I couldn't agree with you more.
But
you know, like I said, we're so But I need your help on this. That's why I keep saying it. There are so many areas, though, that don't care about that. They're in a situation where they don't care about that. They don't care.
Why
you're
don't
going
you,
to somebody
why
go get you free college. Wait a minute, man.
No, wait. Instead of trying to tell them what they should care about, why don't you ask them, get some feedback from them.
Right.
Say this. You'd be surprised what comes out of their mouth. When you say, you know what, you're right, this means nothing. This is neither here nor there. What does it for you?
Mm-hmm.
And let that person answer. What is it that will get them hyped, motivated? And
right.
And that's why it pays to have a seat at the table where changes are made, because we will come armed with that feedback to form a platform that we will now say, if you're a Democrat or whatever party, this is the platform you're going to carry. We don't care what else you got out there, but this is what our people want, and you have to show us movement on at least one issue. Or don't come back. Don't come back to us. Leave us alone. Let's go find someone who will.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to the Brothers for Real Radio Show, where we're talking real talk. We're having real talk. We're having hodgepodge tonight. We want to talk about all the things that you care about. We want to hear some of the things that you care about. Like Miss Elizabeth just said, we don't know what you care about, so we want to hear it. We need to hear it. We want to hear it from you. We're here tonight not to tell you what we think, but we want to hear what you think. Is that good? Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the radio, Brother for Real Radio Show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. If you just want to listen, you can go to www.brothersforreal.com. Robert, Brothers, and Elizabeth, and Sabrina, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a little bit. Please stay on the line, Elizabeth. Please stay on the line, Sabrina. We're having a good time.
Make the
talk about it. We can't put it on hold. We got to talk about it. Now let me ask you guys this. Why don't they just say, Trump, you said Mexico was paying for that wall.
Yeah.
So what
man,
are we talking about?
Wasn't that a chat down that conversation the other day between Pelosi and Schumer and Trump?
Yeah.
And look, guys. Look. Look, Trump. Hold on. Look, Trump. What do you mean? Trump, listen. You said the Mexicans were going to pay for it. What in the heck are you talking about, $5 billion? Didn't you say that's how you won the White House on this wall proposal? The problem, guys, and I know we're preaching to the choir here because I'm sure you guys understand this. Every one of the talking points of the Republican Party is that we have voted with – he should have his way because that's what the people wanted. Well, what we're finding out is that the people were defrauded. They were conned. they didn't, they voted for Trump, if they actually believe that, that he was going to get Mexico to pay for this wall. And there were several, there are several other instances where people voted for Trump because they didn't know exactly what was under the hood. They didn't, they hadn't pulled back the curtain. So this whole concept of, well, we got what we voted for, what we wanted, the folks that voted for Trump, they voted for what they wanted, but they didn't get the whole picture. And this wall situation of $5 billion to pay for a wall, when people can clamber over a wall, they can go under it, they can go around it, they can come in through other ways, it's just total lunacy. And they could have shut that whole conversation down. They could have shut that conversation down on TV. Nancy Pelosi could have said, Trump, you said Mexico was going to pay for it, so why do we need $5 billion?
Why didn't she say that?
Yeah, I'm just sitting there, I'm throwing pillows at the TV screen.
I mean, that's what I've
I know those were pillows, man. You don't want to mess your TV up, I understand.
I know,
that.
Man. I use pillows and paper towels.
And that's what I kept telling Patricia last night while we were watching it. We were watching on television. The only thing I kept saying, I said, the only thing I would say to Trump, whatever he came back with, I would say, you said Mexico was going to pay for the wall. That would be my only response. Anything
drop
he
the
said, mic. Anytime you bring that wall up, I don't care whether you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, you like him, you don't like him. If he bring a conversation up about the wall, I would just say, you said Mexico was going to pay for the wall. End of story.
Yeah. I'm so proud of him.
I'm interested in see what their talking point is. You know, these guys, they get into little corners and they'll go to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and these guys. They go into their little test tube and their little lab, and they cook up these talking points.
Yeah.
I'm curious what their talking point is to overcome this objection.
Yeah,
about the wall.
You know what I would tell them? I said, I tell you what, Trump, and why are you getting them to pay for the wall? Why don't you ask them to see if they'll build us a moat at the same time?
A moat with fire in it.
Yeah. Now, since you're going back to the 14th,
medieval,
15th
yeah.
century. Going back to medieval, right. Medieval times.
Right.
Building walls and moats. Don't nobody do that no more. No,
we got drones and electrical and laser. And
serious.
Man, well, you don't build a wall nowadays.
People don't even put it around fences. People got invisible fences around their yard now to keep a dog from getting out of the yard.
Right. Well, that just shows that's intellectual level. That's as far as they extend something as tangible and visible as a wall. He's not
right.
Deep enough to talk about some of the other means that are available to keep people out of your country.
There's a whole lot of other ways you can do it.
Well, he's on the pill to
I
his
can
base.
Tell you one way they can stop doing it. I tell you one thing they can stop doing it. I'm going to tell you, because most of these people that are coming here, whether they come in legal or illegally, they are coming because they were enticed to come.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they were baited into coming. Just
right.
Like one of the commentators the other night, they were talking about the situation with the people coming into the country, whether legal or illegal. He said that these workers are desperately needed.
Mm-hmm.
They are desperately needed. And if you go back and check the history of this country, every major conflict in this country was about labor. Every major
mm-hmm.
conflict in this country has been about labor. Going all the way back to the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, absolutely the Civil War, because I contend that the main reason that the Republicans up in the North was so they had so much animosity about the slave owners in the South is because they wanted that labor in the North. And, of course, and after the Civil War was over, a lot of, during the Great Migration, a lot of those laborers in the South, they went to the North, and where they experienced a different type of discrimination, humiliation, and segregation. But it was... They needed those workers in the North, and here again, as long as these Hispanics will come into the country, whether they were coming legally or illegally, and they, with the anticipation that they were going to pick cucumbers and harvest tomatoes and pick grapes forever, when they started building banks and bus lines and saving credit unions and all sorts of businesses to channel their resources in their own community, that's when everybody started to have a problem with them.
Yeah, because Jersey,
kind of the same time they started having a problem with us when we started.
Right. Yeah, same thing. Same time they started having a problem with us. When we start to, just like, you know, it's like in the Haiti community that we talked about last week, the community out in Tulsa, Oklahoma, down in Florida, Wilmington. You know, as long as we are men, you know, doing what they want us to do, work in the fields, pick cotton, pick tobacco, or whatever kind of work they want us to do, they're happy with it. They don't have a problem. But as soon as you start turning those resources back into your own community and start building up your own community where it benefits you, that's when the problem starts. And that's where we are.
My brother,
back to what I said, when Trump bring them the wall, you said Mexico was going to pay for the wall.
Amen.
I mean, I don't know why that's such an easy response.
That's so easy. That's an easy one.
Inappropriate.
Inappropriate.
I mean, what does he get the nerve to ask for the money for the wall when he said Mexico was going to pay for it? But Mexico just said yesterday we're not going to do that.
The man from Mexico told Trump that during the campaign.
He said, I'm not paying for this. He said his F-word wall. I'm not paying for this wall.
I didn't know they knew how
he
to
was
cook.
Very articulate.
I mean, he said, read my lips, you little orange-head brat. You orange-head half, behind your bald brat. Look at me. We are not paying for no bleep, 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 bleep wall. Now go tell your mama.
This is a quick question. I don't want to know anybody's business at the table, but let me ask you guys, do you guys have any money in the stock market? I know Joseph probably does. He runs the stock market. But Joseph, help us out a minute.
Actually, I think last week, well, the stock market is doing what it always does.
It goes up and down.
It goes up and it goes down. It gets a whole lot of people excited about the performance of the stock market, and people put money into the stock market. Of course, that's what keeps the economy going. You know, one of the things that keeps the economy going, either people putting money in the stock market or people spending money. Because the bottom line is all the money goes, whatever money you get, there's not so many things you can do with it. You can spend it, you can invest it, or you can put it in the bank.
Either way you do it,
it goes back into the economy, huh?
Joseph.
Hey, Leon.
Have you ever played a slot machine? You ever played a slot machine?
Have I ever played a slot machine?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, same concept.
Well, I have. Anyway, here's what happens. You have, say you got $20. Let's say I'm going to start out with my $20, right? Mm-hmm. Then you get that thing pop up. Boy, you hit the thing, and man, you get $30. You got $30 all of a sudden. Then it's going to go up. Shoot, man, I got $50. Then all of a sudden you hit that thing, and you say, well, I'm going to go $5 on my $5 a pop. I'm going to try and get something big. Anyway, long story short, eventually your money goes all the way down. I mean, it goes up and down just like the stock market.
Hey, Leon, let me say this.
Here's what happens. I'm going to finish this. I'm going to shut up. Here's what happens. Eventually, if that stock market pulls all your money out, you just stuck.
You out.
But I'm going to say this, and
that's exactly how the stock market works. As long as you put money in, you have a potential to get some growth through a process called dollar cost averaging. You know, when the shares go down, you still got the same amount of money going in, so you're buying more shares when the market goes down, and hopefully the market will go up, and now the shares that you bought when they were inexpensive, now they're worth more now, and that's how you make money. But if you're not doing that, of course, and your money just sitting there, keep going zero, going down, 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 eventually you don't have any money, and then, of course, they'll write your letter. Dear sir, you don't have no money. Thank you for your contribution.
Oh,
But the key to it is just like you said, Leon, playing a slot machine. You have to know when to get out. And you're really not going to know when to get out because you find out exactly when to get out. There's a thing they call only people that know to do that are people that do insider trading, and that's illegal. But some people, you know, after you do it for a while, you play the game for a while, you just like everybody else. You know, you learn how to play the game. But go ahead, Robert.
Right. No, I was going to say that. Now, I dabble a little. I'm definitely not a person who does this for a living or advise anybody. But I will say that a $50 stock that was bought back in 2011 on Apple is worth about $2,000 a day. And so if you had bought in, like, big time, you'd be really sitting pretty right now. But that goes back to, like Joseph said, if you are inexperienced and you unfortunately in our community, and it's not just stocks, but this with anything, if you understand how business works, everything is cyclical.
That's right.
There's introduction, there's growth, there's maturity, and there's decline. Unfortunately, in our community, we usually jump on something when it's at the maturity stage.
That's right, at the very
peak. At the peak, and there's a precipitous drop right after that.
Yep.
And that has caught us so many times. And the most recent example was the real estate market. People jumped in, they were buying these houses and these million-dollar houses and getting these predatory loans. And we lost half of our wealth in our community overnight almost.
That's because
we always jump in too late. So don't get excited about the stock market and go out there and dump all your money in it. If you're a player, you've got to be in it for the long haul. You can't be making these emotional highs and lows, jumping in and out, thinking that you know what you're doing, because there are folks out there a lot smarter than us and been doing this a lot longer.
That's accurate. And then there's another thing people have to always realize, too. Anytime, it's like you see the market dropping, say it drops, you know, 600 points one day, 500 the next, up 4 the next. But anytime you lose some money, keep this in mind, y'all can write this down. Anytime you lose some money, somebody else made some money.
Yeah, that's right.
Money is not abstract.
That's right. It doesn't exist in a vacuum.
It doesn't disappear.
That's right.
It just disappears.
Anytime you lose some money, I don't care where you lost that money at. I don't care whether you lost that money, whether it's the stock market or in real estate or wherever the case may be. If you lost some money, somebody else made some money.
Yeah.
So you have to figure out a way to get on the winning end.
And that's what I try to preach when it comes to business development, that people have this aversion to risk. This risk averse has not served our community well. Now it's good on one side if you're not keeping up or if you're not following trends or understand the cyclical nature of business or any type of investment, then it's okay to be risk-averse, because if you don't know what you're doing, you better just hang on to your little money that you have. But people that understand business understand that there's risk and reward with everything when there's money involved.
That's right. Whether
it's real estate, whether it's stock, whether it's business ownership, whether it's a franchise, anything that generates wealth, there is some risk. But unfortunately, in our community, and once again, it goes back to the reason behind these platforms like Brothers for Real, Marketing Pulpit, and some of these other mouthpieces that I'm trying to generate, is that we have to be an educated populace, because this lack of education or this dearth of knowledge has been our undoing. And there were people, like Joseph said, as sad as we were about what happened in 2008 and 2006, 2010, when the bottom fell out of the housing industry, there was somebody that was just laughing themselves all the way to the bank. They were as pleased as punch. You just have to know which side to be on and understand
right.
the timing, and just
That's
know
right.
that it's going to happen. It's not a matter of if or when. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. And you have to be more knowledgeable. Go out here and read, study, follow the cycles, understand. And like this stock market, we saw it the other day drop like 1,000 points. Now, I had my little stocks over there. I'm saying to myself, I ain't crying over that, because I know it's going to be back up in a week. And it was. And it may drop again tomorrow. But I'm in it for the long haul. I follow the fact that I know that if I hang in there 10 years, if history is any lesson, I will be on the winning end in 10 years, but I can't be making these emotional jumps, ins and outs, and which what we have been want to do as a community, and it has not served us at all.
Now, if you,
well, see, I was getting ready to retire.
If you're in the right, if you're in the right stock, you have to be in the right stock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you're in the wrong stock,
you got to be the right stock at the right age.
At the right time, because if you're not in the right stock and you're not doing, putting money in according to that dollar cost averaging, all your money will be gone.
Yeah.
See, when you're my age, you're supposed to get into, you know, not, you don't get into risky stuff anymore. Get into
when you get in our age, we're in what we call the conservation stage. We just want to make sure we can hold on to what we've accumulated.
Just hold on.
Right. That's right.
Right, quick.
Hey,
Elizabeth, you still on the line?
When you're 25 years old, you can take those kind of risks. When you
exactly
get up to your
right.
50s and 60s, this money got to last you forever.
Right. You have to take the Will Rogers. You ever heard of the Will Rogers philosophy? The Will Rogers philosophy. He said, I'm not so much concerned about the return on my money. I'm concerned about the return of my money.
That's pretty good. Just don't make me any worse off than I am.
I'm not trying to make a whole lot of money. I just want to make sure I get the money I put in there back.
Let me pull Sabrina up. Sabrina, you still there?
I
think we on hold again. Hey, Sabrina, how you doing?
Hey, Sabrina.
Can you give us an update on what's going on at Mother's House, from Mother's House to the college right now? How's everything going? What should we be doing with our kids as far as getting them prepared for college? Give us some what you have coming up. Feel free to join in and let us know.
Well, the best thing that parents can be doing right now, especially around this area, we just had 4 days where, well, in the Salisbury area, 4 days where school was out. I don't know how many days for Anthem, but when you have time like that, you need to maximize on that time and actually have students applying for colleges, applying for scholarships, contacting me to find out what new scholarships are available, and really brushing up on their writing skills. A lot of students don't get certain scholarships because they refuse to write essays. And I'm sure you remember, Leon, several of the even NAACP scholarships have gone to students that don't look like NAACP members because our students won't apply. They won't write the scholarship essay. So think of that.
So we have a lot of work to do, man. I want her to talk about that because we have a lot of work to do. We, you know, when you were talking about those down to earth people a while ago. Those are the kind of people we really need to get out, get in the community. I'm just saying, but if we need to concentrate on that more. We need to pull those guys out of the wherever and get them out here into these schools and to these communities and let these kids know how important it is to read, even spend some time helping them learn how to read, motivating them to read, inspiring them, letting them see them in the community. Because here's what happens. Most of us move out of the community, you know.
Yeah.
And people don't see us.
Yeah,
we don't see us, man. People don't see us. The kids don't see us, and when they don't, it's hard to be motivated by us. And then when they do see us, hey, we come before you as in your job or something like that, or as you a judge or something. So we just got to figure out a way to pull them in, you know, get everybody. I know they don't mind. It's just, you know, sometimes you don't think about stuff like that.
No,
so
we
can find ways to incorporate them in the community. Yeah.
Remember, we were at that event the other day, Leon. We were at that event the other day at the business conference. This guy, K Keith Singletary. He's the owner of Three Chick-fil-A's. He is the embodiment of that kind of flying under the radar. I mean, this guy, he's just a regular-looking guy. He doesn't flashy. He wasn't talking loud. He was just – he looked like the most safe and less controversial and noisy, spotlighted person you'd ever see. But that guy is doing it. He is just about his business. And now what he does do, though, he has committed himself to certain organizations and causes to help young people. Because, matter of fact, he hit me up about one of his causes, and I invited him to be on the show. But it's almost like you have to go dig them up. You have to, you know, they're not, because they're the way they are, they're about their business. You know, the empty wagon making a lot of noise.
They're busy, man.
Yeah, they're busy. That's the problem. You're right.
I understand that.
There is some truth to that empty wagon making a lot of noise. A lot of times folks that are making a lot of noise and jumping up and down and screaming, carrying on, they're not really about the business of getting this work done. So we have to work a little harder to find those people that are actually about, that actually have something to contribute and that can actually guide and nurture and lead. But we do have to, and that's, once again, I go back to the show, that we have to pull these people out, shine the light on them, invite them on the Brothers for Real, invite them on the Marketing Pulpit. Let's invite them to these workshops and forums and YCC and these other platforms. That's one way that we can actually make an impact by making these platforms and giving these folks the microphone and putting the spotlight on them. That's a worthy cause right there in and of itself.
Absolutely. I met a young lady from she goes to St. Augustine. She lives in Anson County. She reached out to me probably 6 months ago. She said, "Mr. Gabriel," and I was thinking about that when Liz was talking earlier about how the young people, they're different. You know, they're really conscious, and they have a different attitude. You know, a lot of the young people, the ones that are conscious, or the ones that are awake. You know, Miana D. Berry is her name. Anyway, she's a student at St. Augustine University. She said, "Mr. Gabriel, I want to give back. We want to come back and motivate our students, our you know, the young people in the school to do better. Let them see what's out here." So I met with her, was talked with her today, and then later on met with the principal, Ms. Fanny, Dr. Fanny Ratliff, at the Anson Academy. You know, working on some things, and I talked to Deborah Davis. You know, she's one of the administrators of the Anson County School System, and she was telling me one of the things that she has noticed that, you know, we do with the HOLLA program. One of the things that she noticed is most effective, the kids talk more about, seem to be more inspired by, when they get to see people coming to the school from different, you know, professions or just everyday people. You know, we don't reach out and try to find the show enough big people like congressmen and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. She's about these everyday people that have a job, everyday people who, like you say, own a Chick-fil-A, who have come from, you know, just from the pull their bootstraps up and did that those types of things. She said those are the programs that our kids seem to be most interested in. Those are the ones when at the end of the day they'll come in and say, "Ms. Davis, we really enjoyed what we went through today." Those are the things that motivate them. So that said, we really need to start pulling these guys back in, you know. I mean, once they get out and get on their own, once they get out and become successful, we need to really put them back in and let kids see them. Kids hear their story. Let kids hear how. Because I guarantee you, these guys that we're talking about now, they came through the rough side of the mountain, man.
That's exactly right.
Rough side of the mountain. Yeah. See, kids don't get it. A lot of kids don't get it. They don't understand how that coming up on the rough side of the mountain, they don't understand how they can do the same. And it's important that we let them know where you are now is not necessarily where you need to end up.
Man, well,
hey,
you know,
Gabriel,
I say
something to that.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to chime in real quick on that. So I'm now also teaching at Davidson Community College, but I teach at the Davidson Correctional Facility. I teach mm-hmm. the men at the men's prison. Mm-hmm. And what you just said does not change even on that side of the fence. And the reason why I bring that up is because if we do more of what you're talking about, they won't make it to the other side of the fence. The reason why I know it does not change is because I've started a speaker series there at the prison where I actually have ex-felons that are now business owners and authors and doing positive things in the community. I have them to come and actually speak to the men there at the prison because they've sat in the seat, wore the same uniforms, ate the same meals, did the same time that these guys have done, but they've figured out they didn't want to spend the rest of their lives in prison, so they started business, legitimate business. Mm-hmm. But
see, that's another thing they don't get. You know, they need to know they can start their own business. You're free.
But think about this, though. If we start doing that with, just like you just said, Ms. Davis said that the students are inspired when they have speakers to come in. I think because we are such an emotional people, we wait till there's a problem to try to come up with solutions. Then people want to get excited. Let's continue to have people come in on a regular basis. Will we get everybody? No. But if we continue to pump that in, Paula has not survived this many years based on not doing anything. So what we have to continue to do is there has to be other pockets of HALA around not just Anson County but around the country. The guys at Davidson Correctional Facility, yes, I'm not naive to the fact that everybody's not going to get it. There are going to be some of those guys that will go out and come right back in. But I have seen a change in my classes based on the speaker series. They've gotten a chance to see the possibilities through the eyes of someone that has walked through the same gates they've walked through and actually are out making positive changes now.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's big. See, people like you, Robert, you know, Robert's been here. People like you, Joseph. Joseph's been here. Like I say, those are the kind of guys, you know, we just need to keep pulling in, you know, and it's not like Sabrina said, not just when we get into a little hot spot, not when we get in trouble. Just keep that moving, keep that thing going, man. And that's one of the things I'm talking with the school system now about, just allowing us to keep coming in. I mean, loosen up, you know. There are so many people out here willing to do it, you know. People get excited. I have not met anybody yet that said, no, man, I don't want to do that. I ain't want nobody to know what I did. I don't want them to know I've been to jail, or I don't want them to know I was poor first. That's a badge of honor, you know?
Right.
Think about how cool it would be like if you were able to bring your radio show down to Anson County, do a live taping from wherever that you actually have students there participating and showing them what it takes to produce a show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we did that one time, then, Robert.
Yeah, we actually came down at the YCC back in 2016 and had a couple of the kids on the air, and I think I could feel the impact from their testimonies of that they were touched, they were moved. That
they were Radio One, right?
Yeah, we broadcasting them around the country. People actually called in. It was so funny. There were people who were calling from North Carolina calling to the D.C. show.
That was funny.
Because they were listening to the show from North Carolina.
That was funny. Right. Oh, that was funny.
That was the impact.
People calling from Fayetteville to D.C.
to talk to people in North Carolina. Yeah.
That was funny.
But yeah,
they were excited.
They were excited, and the children were excited. The people were excited, and I was excited really just to see the expressions and the response that we got from the young people and the adults who were there. Who were, like I said, Leon said, they were more than willing to share their stories with these young people. And so it's a matter of marrying these two groups in any way we can, whether it's on the air, whether it's in person, whether it's virtual, whether it's online. But these groups need to come together so that these young people are exposed to these shining examples of what success looks like, and to know that it wasn't all, there was no silver spoon. There was that rough side of the mountain that Leon spoke about. And because they're going through a rough time now, they're seeing a dark patch, they're running into some bumps in the road, that doesn't mean that it's over. It means that they need to see that other people have experienced that as well, and they've endured and went on to become successful. That's what
that's
we have
right.
to do. That's the charge we have to keep. And I'm more than willing to pick up the battle and mantle and carry it forward, and I'm sure the brothers are, and Sabrina and Elizabeth and others who are listening. We can't just stop because life is good for us. That should just be fuel for us to move forward. It's not for us. That's not the end of the road. It's actually the beginning. And so I'm accepting this challenge, and I'm sure the brothers do, and everybody else. We just need more people to pick up this challenge with us.
Can
you
I add
about
something to that challenge, Gatewood? I would love
sure,
to
absolutely.
See and the possibility of starting some internship opportunities for students, whether it's with the insurance world, with the DJing world, with the market pulpit world, so that students not only get the opportunity, but now they're getting the chance to actually see it from how does this internship build my resume going forward? Because that's on the college side, but we can start internship opportunities and start talking to them about applying for internships prior to them going off to college.
Hey, Sabrina, you know what? I almost feel like Sabrina was at this party I went to tonight, earlier today.
I was young, because I could have had some of that stuff you had when you first came.
Yeah, she, man, don't say that, man. You mad at us, all of us in here wishing we were there.
Hey, well, check this out, though. There was a lady that came to me named Sharon. Sharon, I forget her last name, but she's been an associate. We've worked together on some projects in the past. But as a matter of fact, I did her website and her logo a few years ago. She came to me, and she said, Robert, we had our little networking conversation, and she said that I was in a meeting with she's a member of Business Association, the Chamber of Commerce, and she said there was a person there who was talking about internships, and they were looking for companies like mine that they could put some students. And we talked
wow.
about that for 15 minutes. I said, give me your card. I said, here are two or three cards. Everybody over there at that business at that Chamber of Commerce, make sure that they know I will be glad to bring in as many as I can hold in my office. I want to take them to the radio station. I want to take them into the marketing rooms. I want to take them on the internet. I want to show these kids how to get into this tech world and this communication world, because there's not only just opportunity to make money, but it's somewhere where they can actually make an impact, not just for their future, but the future generations. And so anything I can do, I say bring them on. But it was interesting that you said that, Sabrina, because I just had that conversation a few minutes ago.
Well, that's
we're on the same page.
Yeah.
That's right. That's mean. The time is right. Yes. Very good. That's good synergy.
Ladies and gentlemen, please forgive me, but our time is up. It's been live. Thank you, Sabrina. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Joseph. It has been another successful Great Brothers for Real radio show. We'll be back next Wednesday. Ladies and gentlemen, the number to call in to our show is 215-383-3872. You can go to www.brothersforreal probably in the next few minutes and listen to the show all over again. You can also tune in by the links that you used to listen tonight. You can go back and listen again. Great information shared, brothers and sisters. God bless you. We're going to get up out of here and talk about Trump again next week if we have to. Lord, help us, Jesus. Nutty Hathaway, all right.
Very special Christmas for me.
Hey, Robert, I'm getting up out of here, man. I'm down here in Marvin at the Hollis Hill on the second floor, and it's cold enough.
My world is filled with
frosting the snow. know, man, to live up here tonight. You know, we turn the heat off on the top floor, man. Save energy. You know, we're non-profit.
Hey, bro. Brother, get out of there and go get some red. Go get some red warm,
got
man.
Got zone, baby. Keep cool. Yes, sir.
Get out of there. Go warm up.
All right, brother. Bless you, baby.
Later. Later. Good show. We're caroling through the night.